Welcome to the show with the biggest facts about the smallest towns. I am your small town Maxim, and joined by me today is my other town small
Squire. The Squire from the Squire's Tale from the Canterbury Tales.
It never ends.
There's a lot of stories in the Canterbury Tales, and I mentioned last week that I was going to do all of them, so...
You know, I just about, when you said that, I would just about hit my head on the mic a couple times, but then I was like, I'm going to have to clean that out later. So you really got me cornered here.
That's the Squire's job. So you actually, you know who puts baby in the corner?
Who?
Squire.
Okay. All right. Well, welcome to Small Town Radio, you guys. Happy to have you back. If this is your first time listening, I'm going to give you no overview of the show. However, we are going to Esperance, Western Australia this week.
So, Aussie. Oi, oi, oi. Is that the thing they do?
Oi, oi, oi.
No, I don't know.
I think oi is like the thing that like old school punks in England would say.
Oi. Harry. Harry Potter. Oh, that's terrible. I don't know what accent that was.
Oi, Harry. Get over here.
Yeah, it's one thing I learned about learning about going to a different country this time is that I'm really dumb.
Yeah.
Did you have that feeling too, where you're like reading? I read through the whole Wikipedia and I was just like, I think I got about 2/3 of that information. Like, there's a lot of that stuff went over my head because I don't know where any of these other things are.
Yeah, it is challenging to figure out. And I feel like I should pick another country, but like Alex Richards has been informing me of some like Australian subculture and slang. So I was like, I should do like another Australia place.
See, I find it interesting where you say it's a challenge and I say I feel like an idiot, which means we have very different perspectives on this. And we're like, I don't know. I feel like yours is a little bit more American. We're like, well, this is a good, hearty challenge, but I can conquer it. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm an idiot, which is the way other people view Americans.
Yeah, when it comes to small town radio research, I'm Teddy Roosevelt and you're Donald Trump.
I take offense to that.
Listen, New Hampshire has the best small towns.
You know, they're taking down the Teddy Roosevelt statue at the Museum of Natural History.
Yeah, I heard that. I think it's good. I actually, when I went to the museum last year, I saw its statue, and I even thought, I was like, huh, that's a little inappropriate.
Yeah,
but also, what stood out to me is the horse statue has testicles, but no penis.
Wow. A real detective.
A real detective.
what was, the museum said we don't take... Obviously, we take some issue with Teddy Roosevelt, but our bigger issue is the depiction of the statue itself and what it represents. So, because Teddy Roosevelt was the one who started the national parks.
Yeah.
So,
and I think it's okay to have a statue of Teddy Roosevelt, but with the Native Americans walking next to him, I don't think that was in good taste.
Yeah, I think the statue of Teddy Roosevelt to help the horse feel better should only have testicles and no penis, and he should be completely naked.
Naked Teddy Roosevelt on a naked penisless horse.
I mean, the teddy bears are naked, right? So why not?
Oh, okay. Can you name all the presidents on Mount Rushmore?
I think so.
Do it. There's four.
Washington.
Okay.
Lincoln.
Okay.
Roosevelt. Is it Jefferson?
Yeah.
Okay, nice. That's what I thought, but I was like, I'm not... That's the only one I was like 95% sure on.
Nice. Okay, now can you name all of the Battle of Brooklyn memorials found throughout the borough?
I thought you were going to ask, can you name what historical monument the Mount Rushmore was built on for that destroyed Native American culture? I was like, no, I don't, but I should.
I know the name, and... It's one of those things like, just the other night, Anya, one of the comedians out here, she has a joke that's like, I hate this tip of my tongue shit. Like, who's that actor? What's that movie? I'll know it as soon as I hear it. It's like, I will also know it as soon as I hear it. You actually know the same amount of me as me. You don't know anything. But yeah, it's somewhere in the Black Hills. I forgot the official name of it, but that's the name of the region.
Well, if we're going for to Australia this time, we've talked about America quite a bit.
Yeah.
As yeah. True Americans do.
Anyway, what's your favorite Australia fact? What comes to your mind when you're like, Australia, besides kangaroos?
Koalas, boomerangs, surfing. Yeah.
Surfing, yeah, we're going to cover surfing.
The Hemsworth brothers.
Hemsworth?
What?
There's two?
What?
There's Captain America and then the other one?
Captain America is Chris Evans.
Fuck, Hemsworth is Thor?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah,
and the other one, so there's Chris and Liam. Liam was in the Hunger Games.
Liam, is he the younger one that plays Peeta?
No, Peeta is played by Josh Hutcherson. What's his name? Gale. His name was Gale, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, okay, I don't know. But I think it's, you know, it does come in handy sometimes on this show to have a young adult fiction enthusiast as a host.
Yeah. That should be my new title. The Squire Who Likes Young Adult Fiction.
I guess if you're a squire, that would be appropriate because you're a squire at like 13 years old-ish. So, but could you imagine?
Which was the equivalent, like medieval equivalent of like late 20s.
Pretty much. I think I did read somewhere that our perception of average age of people in the past is skewed, though, because we're always like, oh, average age was like 30. But the reason why is people lived as long as they do now. It's just that more people died as children. So the idea, like the mean value got dropped down quite a bit. Where it's like, yeah, they had 80, 90-year-old people, but also way more babies just died back then. So that's how numbers work.
And we like to start our show with the funnest facts with no baby deaths. So
no baby deaths. In fact, no baby has ever died in Australia.
Wow, is that fact number one?
Yeah, it's fact number one.
Wow. Well, diving in. Oh, we have social media for this show.
Oh, yeah, we do.
We have Instagram, which is at STRadioPod. We have Gmail, which is smalltownradiopodcast@gmail.com. And we have Facebook and Twitter as well, which, you know, same handles type of situation.
Yeah.
And you can review the show and get stickers.
Yeah, if you review the show, I send you stickers and get a lovely handwritten note. I'm still holding myself to that. I also think it would be fun to do an open call for short Goblin Gallery submissions. So mm-hmm. if you have a town that you like and have a funny thing about it, go ahead and email it to us. I'll send you a sticker as well. We can read it off as fan or not fan mail, but, you know, mailbag.
You know where we're going to get the most Goblin Gauntlet submissions from?
Goblin Gallery
submissions?
Yeah.
New Hampshire.
Yeah, I mean, that seemed... Okay, Jack Swimer, don't send us anything so I can squash Connor's effort.
You just
here.
Said to the one person who was likely to send us something, please don't.
God, I know, right?
Well, should we go?
Yeah. Should we do a drum roll?
Sure. Do you actually want me to do it? Do you want to put in a drum roll? I can send you a drum roll from a website with free sounds.
Okay. Yeah, send me a good drum roll of your choice.
Oh, I'm going to do... I'm going to send you some beats. Some good beats.
Okay, great.
Not the classic drum roll.
Okay, cool. And then when you hear the drum roll, that's going to go right here. I hope you imagined a monkey playing the drums.
Well,
anyway, let's get this started. Let's go to Esperance, Western Australia.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You want to do the basics?
Yeah, I can do the basics for us. So
the underhanded pitch because you're too dumb for the rest.
Oh.
Just kidding.
Wow. I can make fun of myself.
That has been called for.
But it's like making fun of your friend. Like, I am my own... I'm not my own friends. Let's be real,
you're
folks.
You're not my friend.
Here.
I can't roast you. Come on.
Okay, the location of Esperance is a town. Actually, if someone were to guess, would you guess it's in Western Australia? Mm-hmm, I sure hope so. But Esperance is a town in the Goldfield Esperance region of Western Australia on the Western Ocean coastline, approximately 720 kilometers or 450 miles east-southeast of the state capital, which is Perth. The yep. population today, the urban population of Esperance is, or was, 12,145 in June of 2018. And very interestingly, Wikipedia surprises me. The population of the town in 1898 was 985. And this is where it gets interesting. I don't think I've ever seen this before in all my Wikipedia reading. In 1898, the population was 623 males and 362 females, which is so specific. I don't think I've seen a demographic breakdown, a population breakdown that specific from Wikipedia.
Yeah, it's very particular. I wonder if they have some special census system in Australia that made, like back then, that was keeping track. Someone did their diligence.
And I bet it was due.
It due was diligence. Due. It was due diligence, yep. And the population explosion from then to now is because not a single baby has died.
And everyone in Australia is considered a baby, so no one's died.
All right, so basically the overview of this place is it's a coastline port that also for a long time was a town that was closely connected to gold mining in the region. And nowadays, they do a lot of agriculture. They do a lot of, I'm sorry, someone is delivering a package to my building right now, so you can probably hear ringing.
It's Sam!
I hope it's for me.
Can you imagine Sam delivering to someone else?
Oh, no, I would be so betrayed.
We have our own private USPS mail person.
Yep, and he actually hikes between New Hampshire and Brooklyn weekly to get our, me and Connor are pen pals. We send each other love letters and comedy notes. We don't talk over
anything. You know, this whole podcast is actually done over handwritten letters. We just say them separately, record them separately.
We just time it out. This is love letter radio.
Love letter radio. Ooh.
That was Ghost. We should have done a Valentine's Day episode.
Oh, yeah.
Missed opportunity. Well. Oh, well.
There's only one time a year for love, so
yeah, it's the only time I love my girlfriend. I was like, good thing we started dating in December, because now I can love you the one day. Okay, so basically now Esperance is a agricultural and mining place still, but mainly it's a big tourist location. They got beautiful beaches, lots of outdoor stuff. It's kind of just, it reminds me of Southern California from what I gathered. I'm going to do a quick dive into like the history here. I pared it down to the very quick notes here. So in 1627, the first visit to the area was a Dutch East India Company vessel that sailed past. They continued, they didn't land, but they were basically sailing around the Great Australian Bight, which is an open bay. So it's just like an enormous cliff that runs along the southern edge of Australia in this region. In 1792, the French are actually credited with making the first landfall near the town. They actually were taking shelter from a storm, and they posted up in the area overnight, and they named the region, and they named other local landmarks there. And the name Esperance was actually named that after the captain, and Esperance in French means hope. So that's the origin of that. In 1802, British navigator Matthew Flinders sailed the Bay of Isles, discovering and naming places such as Lucky Bay and Thistle Cove. Whalers, sealers, and pirates followed, as did pastoralists and miners, keen to exploit the free land and cash in on the gold boom in the gold fields to the north. So we got Dutch, we got British, we got French. And in 1864, the Dempster family, a Scottish family, were the first to establish the area. The brothers, Charles, Edward, Andrew, and James, were granted 304,000 acres of land in the area, where they first settled in 1864. In 1890, the town jetty was built. And I learned what a jetty is. A jetty is just a dock. So a place you can park your boat.
Oh, I thought it was a jet landing strip.
Yep. In 1890, they were like, airplanes are going to be a thing soon, right? They're like, surely someone will need to land their hot air balloon here.
That's, and they did, well, is that what they called hot air balloons before? Jetties? And then they're like, now we invented the jet, so we got to call this something else.
They invent the hot air balloon and call it, this is a space shuttle. And they're like, what's space? What's a shuttle? And they're like, the thing that's this, I guess. Surely that name will stay relevant. So yeah, in 1890s, after they built their dock, Esperance became known as, quote, the gateway to the gold fields. So you land there, you stock up, you head out to the gold fields to mine away. And then in 1927, it took a long time, but a railway from Esperance to the gold fields was built. So almost like 30 years later than that, 35, 40. I guess the story is the prime minister visited Esperance and he was like, we have to connect this place to the gold fields. But there was other towns that were already connected and he didn't want to interfere with the economies. So he was just like, just wait. And then it took another 30 years for them to actually build the line that he was like, we should build this. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I have some information because there's a lot of like history of like these people saw the land and but these people actually settled here. And like there's a lot of like history, a lot of different countries involved in it.
Yeah.
But today we're talking about today. So Esperance, actually, I don't know if you knew this, Maxim. Esperance is both a shire and a town.
Ooh, hobbits?
Maybe. A shire is the most common word in Australia for rural local government areas, or LGAs for our enthusiasts out there.
Ah, LaGuardia. Mm-hmm. That's where we get that, because they built the first landing strip.
So, the Shire of Esperance is obviously a local government area, and the shire covers an area of 42,547 square kilometers, which is 16,427 square miles. And the seat of the Shire of Esperance is, of course, the town of Esperance. And interestingly, this is where Wikipedia starts to take some liberties with numbers. So the population
really?
Of
Wikipedia liberties with numbers.
So it says the Shire of this is the Shire of Esperance with a population of 14,242 in 2013. And remember, the population of the town of Esperance is about 1,200. Said
12,000.
12,000. Thank you. The Shire has one of the lowest. No. Said about 3/4 of the Shire's population resides within Esperance, the town of Esperance.
Yeah.
That's that 12 to 14, not quite 3/4, right? Math man, Maxim?
Right. And for such a huge area, too.
Yeah. And so it's interesting. It continues on. The Shire has one of the lowest population densities to be found anywhere. And this is according to esperance.wa.gov.au/about-area. And I'm not going to lie. We've looked at a lot of small towns, and that is the stretch of some truth right there. It's like one person per, a little bit less than one person per square mile, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, that's not the lowest population density of just about anywhere.
Yeah, I feel like there's got to be places around the world where it's even more empty than that.
I mean, what is it? The town of Manawai has one person and like a lot of land, a decent amount of land.
No, isn't that one where one of the facts was it was like kind of a cheat because it's less than a square mile, so it's actually more people per square mile only one person living there?
Yeah, but like the surrounding areas were like dead too. Yeah, yeah. So that's one thing. So, but the town now, if we're looking at present day, has a lot of beaches and like a lot of, there's agriculture that helps the economy, but a lot of it is tourism too. It has a number of lakes, including Pink Lake, which got its name from a rosy hue of red algae living within its waters. But for the better part of more than the last decade, so like 13 years or so, the algae has not bloomed, so it's no longer pink. Fun.
Great.
And
21st century, baby, destroying the planet.
Is it? I know we have the... holy.
You good?
Yeah. My headphones are literally pulsing. So I know you saw, I did the switch. We had some, we have like multiple connections set up.
Yeah.
And so I switched over because my phone was about to die. And then the Wi-Fi almost died on my laptop. But then my headphones were literally picking up the signal coming from the computer, like pulsing in my other headphones on top. Very weird. But we made it through. Am I right? We're still connected. It's,
I sit here on a super stable internet connection. Everything's fine the whole time. And Connor's just living out like a cyberpunk nightmare.
Yeah,
like,
it was
too many gadgets.
We've done... Like, we took all the precautions this time. We have two Google Hangouts going. We're still good, though. So, back to it. Back to Esperance. There's a lot of picturesque beaches, a lot of white sand beaches. And if you go to visitesperance.com, the first picture that comes up on the home screen is a kangaroo lounging on the beach.
Aww.
Which... Like, how more stereotypical can you get?
Right.
And then there's actually five national parks within, like, close to the city. And the national parks have a lot of animals. There's bandicoots, pygmy honey possums, ring-tailed possums, and western gray kangaroos. And some of the relic species with... Gondwanan lynx, which, if you don't know what those are, you're an idiot. those are found in the park, and some of those species include legless lizards, which you would think are snakes, but they are not. They're not snakes. Snakes have no outer appendages, where legless lizards sometimes do, but they're just not used anymore. So they're adapting.
So I want to tack on to your national parks bit here.
Mm-hmm.
So also in Cape Le Grand National Park, Esperance is home to, we talked about surfing, it's home to one of the heaviest wave in the world that's like surfable. So the most volume of water coming and crashing down at one time.
Yeah. What's the name of it? I love this name.
It's called Cyclops, which is cool.
Okay. And it's, I got to ask you something. I'd spent a lot of time trying to figure this out. Do you know exactly how far Cyclops is? Because I know you can only get there by boat. It's not like
far it is, but it's only by boat.
Yeah, it's like, it was interesting because Cyclops is 7 hours by boat from Perth, but Perth is like around the corner of Australia. Like,
yeah.
Esperance is along the southern coast and Esperance is like on the western coast. But on the website, it says, Esperance is home to Cyclops. So I couldn't quite figure it out.
It's nearby. It's nearby enough. One thing this is so dumb. When I was trying to figure out how much water was displaced by this wave, I wasn't sure if we take those types of measurements, but some websites, like surfing websites, said Cyclops has the thickest lips in the world. And yeah, I was like,
that was so common. Any surfing website had like used the word lips for the wave.
The thickest lips. Like, don't threaten me with a good time.
I found it really interesting that, it was on one of the most dangerous, a lot of the most dangerous waves in the world.
Yep.
List. And it's interesting because this wave was more recently found.
Mm-hmm.
So we have, we're back. Whatever happened. My camera shut off. But so we're talking about Cyclops. And Cyclops was on a list of, on a lot of lists of most dangerous waves. And it was recently found. And like the early 2000s. But a lot of people say don't go to this because literally as the lips crash down, the wave crashes down, it crashes right onto a granite reef. So not only... You have a ton of water coming onto you. You will literally just be dragged across this reef. That'll just scrape you up. So you got to get there by a boat. There's a ton of water that'll crash onto you and you land on a reef. And I found on this website called San Diego surfingschool.com.
Mm-hmm.
I love this. Even if you can find the spot. Wait, no, wait. But every... yes, here it is. Here it is. But not every wave is perfect here at Cyclops. And most times you'll see a wave here that is so deranged in shape that you'll probably ruin your pants.
Damn. Well, what's funny too is like the because of the water displacement of the wave, what happens is all the water on that reef gets sucked towards the wave. So it actually, the sharpness of the coral comes towards the surface. So when it crashes down, you're going onto almost bare coral. And I read in a forum somewhere, this is a comment in one of like the surf videos I watched. The nearest hospital is like 7 hours away.
Yeah.
Like
it's nuts. Did you watch Bra Boys?
No, I didn't.
Oh, I watched a trailer for it. That's one of the documentaries it was featured in. That movie was not what I expected at all. I thought it was like a fun surf, like beach party movie. No, it was like, it's like questions of these guys murdering kids and like,
holy shit.
Yeah. So,
all right. Well, we got a couple more facts we should get to before we get to our end bit here.
Yeah.
I'm going to cover one and then you can do the fun one that I know you found. So this one I found interesting because I learned something, not directly about this place, but in general. So Esperance has the only port in the southeast of Western Australia. In 2002, the Port Authority completed a $54 million upgrade to the port, and it made the port one of the deepest in South Australia, and it was capable of handling Cape-class vessels up to 180,000 tons.
Oh, yeah. And fully loaded vessels.
And fully loaded Panamax vessels up to 75,000 tons. And I didn't know this, but cargo ships are classed by which natural features they can go through. Man-made features. So Cape class vessels are too big for the Panama Canal, too big for the Suez Canal. So to go around the world, they have to go around the Cape of Good Hope or Cape Horn. So that's why they're called Cape class. And then Panamax is the largest you can put in the Panama Canal. With this,
Maxim, there's... I love it when you talk dirty to me like that.
So,
give me those
with
boat
this,
facts.
Boat facts. Okay, here's a boat fact, because when I was reading about this, I thought it was fun. The largest ship ever built was a super tanker called the Seawise Giant. It's since been decommissioned, but it was 1,503 feet long. The Empire State Building is 1,250 feet tall. So it was 250 feet longer than the Empire State Building is tall. And the ship was so big, it couldn't even navigate the English Channel.
Mm-hmm. How big was that ship?
Big as hell.
English Channel. I don't know what that means anymore.
The English Channel, it's a space between
England
and France.
No, I know
England
what they
is. I thought you, Mr. What do you call him? Oh, man, the word's escaping me. It's not Francophile. It's the other one. Anglophile. I thought an Anglophile like you would know that.
Hey, you know, sometimes I just get so caught up in the heat of the moment that I forget what I know, you know? All those words.
I'm just trying to leave space for you in this show.
Oh, well.
Natural segue? Unnatural segue.
In 1979, pieces of the space station Skylab crashed onto Esperance after the craft broke up over the Indian Ocean. The municipality fined the United States $400 for littering. A very, you know, with inflation, that's like $48 billion these days.
Yeah, right.
The fine was paid in April of 2009, which was a long time, which was 30 years after the junk fell onto Esperance. And the fine was actually paid when radio host show Scott Barley of Highway Radio raised the funds from his morning show listeners and paid the fine on behalf of NASA.
It's so cute.
I know there's more to this story. I didn't know if you wanted to tag along.
I will. So I think it's so funny that like the space station explodes over your town and all the only repercussion is littering. But so it said in the article, Skylab's like destruction was like an international media event with merchandising and people wagering on the time and replace of entry with nightly news reports. The San Francisco Examiner offered a $10,000 prize for the first piece of Skylab to be delivered to their offices. And this was pulled off by 17-year-old Stan Thornton, who scooped up a few pieces of Skylab off the roof of his house in Esperance, caught the first flight to San Francisco, and collected the prize. And that is not a short flight. That is like a 12 or 14-hour flight or something.
That's a $10,000. I mean, I don't get why this paper, which maybe has gone under, would pay so much for this piece of something that isn't really relevant to anything. What do? They take a picture of it? Like, do they
museum?
It's
definitely like history, and it's good promotion for the radio station as well, or the paper.
Yeah, the Examiner. But also thinking about how big Esperance is, like, was this trash? Did it come down in like one area? Was it like raining space junk for a while? It was like cloudy with a chance of meatballs, but it was space parts.
No, I think it only landed on this kid's house. Just kidding. No, I think it was it must have been a all at once event, but it definitely would break up in the atmosphere. So I'm guessing it just like rained small space parts for probably like 20 or 30 minutes and stop.
Climate change. What can I say? Can't wait for them to start raining down jets. Make more sense why we have all these jetties around.
Oh. All right. Do you have any other facts you want to throw in here?
I did, but they're not relevant. They're like environmental. Like you read about all the nickel and lead poisoning and stuff like that. Yeah, we don't need to
go there.
Yeah, we don't need that. There's also Esperance was also home to the first wind turbine farm, electrical wind farm in Australia. And it started in 1987. So I had a balance there between good and bad environmental stuff. So
here's how we do it. We just hint at the bad and then say the good.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's Esperance. Are you ready, listeners, for the world famous best in show, Olympic sport, investment opportunity, gold standard, Goblin Gallery?
What about our ad break?
Oh, yeah, ad break.
Great question. That was a natural segment, and it'll be coming your way right after this ad.
Okay, here we go. What's your one-word ad?
Okay.
That's it. All right.
You kind of took
the feeling of okay?
It's like okay. It's not like okay, A-Y. It's O dot K dot.
Ooh, yikes.
Yeah. Like texted over text. Can you imagine someone texting you that with two periods in one word? Ugh, no, that's not a good text.
That's a stomach drop right there.
That's like,
there.
Is that better or worse than just getting a K with a period?
It's worse. I think because it implies O dot 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 K dot 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 sounds like you're creepy or like you're really at fault. K dot is like you really just like piss someone off. But like O dot 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 K dot 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 is like a whole nother level of existential disappointment.
Or Morse code.
Morse code. All right, today I am brought to you by receiving the text message K from my mom all the time. And it's normal because I know my mom does it and she just doesn't mean anything by it. But she's out of the demographic where we all know that's a harmful thing to text to someone.
Perfect. And now on to
the Goblin Gallery. So this one right here, this is to save the economy and the climate and the environment. So let's see what we got for entries this week.
I'm ready to rock and roll if you will have me in my art.
You may rock and roll, sir.
All right. This week, nature photography by the Squire at Connor_Kvyacin on Instagram. So this first photo, this here, is a photograph of a cyclops. Oh, I forgot to mention, this is an interactive piece where after I say what the photo is, you go, ooh or ah. So I'll try again. This here is a photograph of a cyclops.
Ooh, ah. His
Not
eye is
the
so
wave,
big.
But the cyclops Polyphemus from Homer's The Odyssey. And he looks cute.
Especially with that log in his eyeball.
This picture here is a photo of Cyclops the Wave.
Oh, beautiful. Thick lips.
And that speck in the front is a surfer who ruined his pants. This photograph, shot during the golden hour, is a legless lizard.
Oh, nature's finest.
I know what you're thinking. Isn't that a snake? No way, you stupid American. Do more research. This picture is of Pink Lake.
What color is it?
It's supposed to be an ooh or an ah. This is it. Okay. This is it, stand up. How okay. pink is it?
Okay, I'm gonna do this art gallery style where you go, this is a photo of Pink Lake, and go, I love how you changed the pink to blue.
You're wondering, how is that pink? I thought the lake hasn't been that color in over a decade. Well, it's a secret that I like to call crayons.
Crayons. I would have just said Adobe Lightroom.
I want to make it child friendly.
Photograph. Children are incapable of using the Adobe Creative Cloud, so that's for our adult listeners.
This photograph is of a kangaroo lounging on a white sand beach.
Cute.
And that feels like a massive stereotype.
Offensive. Canceled.
And this last photo is a selfie of me with a kangaroo.
How'd you get him to do that?
Well, shortly after, the kangaroo stole my camera, took a photo of himself, and then we proceeded to recreate the whole Kangaroo Jack film, which somehow scored a lower critics rating on Rotten Tomato than the original film, which was 8%.
Incredibly terrible film. Did this happen to you too? When I was a kid, all the advertisement was framing this as a talking kangaroo movie. And then it was just some shitty like movie with one dream scene of a talking kangaroo that was like 10 seconds.
Yeah, well, we recreated it in Esperance, so.
Fun fact, that movie was supposed to be an R-rated crime movie, but then the studio scrapped it and they took all the shots and they downgraded it to like a kind of like a whatever adventure movie and then tried to market it as a kid's movie to recoup their losses. Total disaster.
Is that true?
Yeah, it's totally true. Look up Kangaroo Jack on like Wikipedia or IMDb. I learned this recently, like a month or two ago. Huge disappointment. Did we talk about Kangaroo Jack in an episode
maybe,
like 20 episodes ago?
Maybe. I don't know. Well, that is my Goblin Gallery, these photos that I took.
Amazing. The Dow has gone up 5,000 points. What's this? I can smell clean air. In New York City? Is that lake? Is it turning pink again?
Did that kid really shit his pants?
These board shorts are ruined. All right, here we go. I'm going to get to my Goblin Gallery submission. This one's for all the animals out there, legs or no legs, whatever. So I was thinking, if people are still surfing Cyclops, because I saw a lot of videos of people doing it, I think we need to step up the challenge. So here's some creative ways that we can make the wave even more dangerous to surf. You got to make it worth it. So they should make a law that declares all boats coming into the area must not have motors. So people are going to have to canoe or kayak or paddle
boat. Old man to see it.
Old man to see it, yep. And then I think we should send a team in to sharpen the coral, maybe even dump some razor wire on the reef, just really spice it up.
That's a spicy reef.
Yeah, right. And Alex told me that Western Australia is infested with sharks. But I think we could do one better, and you could bait the sharks to come to the area. So, you know, just kind of drum up a little bit more shark interest.
I think you're talking about chumming the water, which would naturally happen as people are dragged across the reef. But I think that's why people shit their pants. It's like an anti-chum.
This is like a feedback loop. It's perfect. We make the reef more dangerous. People cut themselves. More sharks come in. Cut people. Make the reef more dangerous. It's amazing. I was thinking we could also possibly modify the seafloor to make the wave higher. Like, I'm sure there's some like geometry we can exploit there. And then I think our show, we're going to be sponsoring a village of goblins who are going to sit on the shore and they're going to shoot crossbows at the surfers.
Which may or may not be miles away.
Yeah.
We don't know.
All this, I think they should add a $50,000 grand prize granted by the Australian federal government to anyone who pulls it off given these challenges. And I want to review two people who reviewed this experience on Yelp. I brought in a team of world-class athletes and adventurers to get a shot of me shredding this wave, but I was hit in the shoulder by a bolt right as the tube came crashing down. 1 out of 5 stars. Next review. I won the $50,000, and it was probably the craziest, most memorable thing I've ever done in my entire surfing career, but my friends will never, ever come back. 4 out of 5 stars.
I like to imagine that the way you wrote it was, my friends will never come back with me to Cyclops, but I like to imagine how I understood it was, my friends who also tried to surf it and passed away will literally never come back.
Yep, that's how it was written. All right, so that's my submission to the Goblin Gallery. Once again, restate, if there's an episode that you guys have a town you like or something and you want to do a short Goblin Gallery submission, send it to our email address at smalltownradiopodcast@gmail.com.
What do you think about people submitting for towns that we haven't done yet, and then we'll do research about those towns? It's kind of a twofer.
That'd be interesting. Like, someone sends us a Goblin Gallery submission based on a town suggestion, and then we just fill in there.
Yeah.
Well, that could be fun. We'll do that, too. Send us whatever the hell you want.
Except for ruined board shorts.
Yeah, exactly. Don't send us a package with poop and board shorts in the mail. All right, well, that's our show, guys. Thank you so much for listening. I am Maxim Allen. You can follow me on Twitter at Maxim of Allen. Follow the show on Instagram at ST Radio Pod. Follow Connor's YouTube channel, Podcasting with Connor. He's like, I'm going to make your audio that sounds like this. Sound like this.
Yep. Hire me if you want a podcast editor or, you know, just more insights into the world of podcasting. And stay healthy, stay happy.
Yep. Stay healthy, stay happy. Don't go to Florida.
Or Texas, or Arizona.
Right. Do your due diligence. Wear a mask.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, please.
Okay. Well, that's our show. Thank you guys so much for listening. Love you. See you next time. Bye.
Bye.